This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Sarah Gardner. So these fiscal cliff negotiations have been a tough slog, which got us to wondering, how did Congress ever make big deals in the past? Used to be that political deal-making was all about horse trading, sometimes over pet projects in home districts, earmarks. Earmarks, though, have fallen out of favor in Washington. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer asks whether earmarks would have steered us away from the cliff earlier.
Used to be, if you wanted a member of Congress to vote for something, you tacked an earmark onto the bill. Funding for something like a new road in the member's district. Maybe you threw in a bridge. No more. Paul Light teaches government at NYU.
I just don't think there's an earmark big enough to offset the anger that gets produced by going home and saying, well, I voted for it, but I got you a bridge up on Highway 22.
Especially if it's a bridge to nowhere. Earmarks are practically poison now. Both parties agreed to ban them a few years ago. But earmarks are not only uncool, they're also inadequate, says Thomas Mann of the Brookings Institution.
They're trivial considerations compared to the political forces that are driving the behavior of members now in this new partisan era.
Mann says members of Congress are afraid a controversial vote against the party line will result in a challenger in the next primary. He says party activists and big-pocketed super PACs are waiting to pounce on incumbents they perceive as disloyal. David Greenberg teaches political history at Rutgers University. He says in that kind of partisan environment, earmarks wouldn't get you much.
You're going to need some greater leverage than the kinds of small favors that have traditionally been used to pick up, you know, a handful of extra votes you need to get over the finish line.
And that helps explain why the fiscal cliff negotiations have been such a cliffhanger. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.